try again.
It's Thursday night, and we are 3 weeks from the boondoggle. Joining me here on Kayak Fishing Radio Thursday nights, our host from Wednesday night, Mark Wheeler. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's going on, man?
You digging the shark music in the background, man?
Definitely digging it.
Digging it, man. Let me say hey to Mr. Becker. Do you feel like it makes you feel like evil, right?
It's awesome.
But have you ever listened to the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
It starts getting like all happy, like we should hold hands and skip down the road here in just a second.
Yeah, and that's music.
Yeah, I know. See? Now we change meter. It gets all. Oh, it's incredible. It's lovely to be eaten by a shark. Fascinating.
Being digested.
Yeah, I know, right?
Okay. It's like the I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor song from fourth grade.
Right, yeah.
Not that I remember that or anything, I'm just saying.
Really? Were there like hand symbols and movements that you had to make?
I have no idea, Chip.
Okay. All right. It was a friend of yours, right, that told you about it?
I just heard a story somewhere.
Okay.
Right,
cool.
He pleads the fifth.
Uh-huh. All right.
He pleads the fifth.
Yeah, the fifth, and seventh.
That's right. So it's Thursday. The weather is nasty here in ATL, but it looks good down south, and we're getting closer to the point now that the weather prognosticators, or the weather guessers, as we like to call them, are starting to put up some forecasting information for our upcoming boondoggle weekend. So the furthest out I've got so far is the weekend prior now. They're putting out like a 15-day forecast. And, of course, you know, that's not going to be really good, but it does look good down there. So how was you guys' day? Good day?
Great day.
All right. Cool. You know, Wheeler, did you get a new modem, man? His kids helped him out. They thought his modem was a little dirty, maybe from some of the things they saw on his screensaver or something like that.
Oh.
And they washed his modem.
The story behind it was I was yelling at the computer because the internet was slow.
Ah.
And they know that when the internet goes bad, Daddy plays with the modem.
Oh.
And they know that when Daddy needs a boost, he drinks coffee.
Ah, so
they found my cup of coffee and poured it onto the modem to give it a boost.
You're making that up.
Problem solved.
I am not making that up.
Dude, put those kids in all the advanced placement classes. They can figure stuff out, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm digging it.
Except for I don't have internet.
Yeah, you don't have internet now. Okay, well, so we're talking about the boondoggle. If you're listening in on the show for the first time, if you're just joining us, boondoggle minute here, kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle, yakangler.com/boondoggle. You'll get all the information you need. We are headed that way. It's 21 and a wake up. Actually, we could count this one as down. So 20 and a wake up, and we're on our way to Chokoloskee Island Park on the island of Chokoloskee, just south of Everglades City, southwest corner of the Great Cypress National Preserve, something like that. Everglades National Park, I think it's going to be a great time. We've got, I think by last count, I saw 28 signed up at yakangler.com on the little page there, the info page. And that's just individuals. I know I haven't included the clone or the wife, and they're both coming with. So,
or any of the people from Southwest Kayak Fishing.
Right. I mean, we don't have any of them.
Southwest Florida Kayak Fishing.
Yeah. So, so that's it, and we're looking forward to it. So when we talk about the boondoggle, that's going to be it. And at the boondoggle, I think we've just about ready to, at this boondoggle, we will announce the location of our next boondoggle, or at least the next major boondoggle. We need some Latinic term, like, you know, sounds all scientific, you know, like a major, minor, that kind of thing. So we have major boondoggle, minor boondoggle, but that's not really professorial enough, if you'll allow me some word creation. Anyways, let me say hi to the folks in the chat room. We got, Greg Hammerhead Crisp from New Hampshire. We got Justin and Jim Van Pelt, the Salt Warrior Russ pilot from Louisiana. Scuba Stan from Chucktown. Semper Yak joining us all the way from Camp Henderson, Okinawa, Japan. Welcome aboard, Semper Yak, and the Yak Sushi himself. The man with the plan from yakangler.com. And I just received a text, and I'm going to leave this guy muted who just joined us on the Buzzard Row. So he'll have to push the button and make the little symbol come up if he wants to talk. It's Chuck, I guess. But anyways, Mr. Becker and Mr. Wheeler join me in the house. So... it's kind of cool, man. And it's early morning. I know you know, if you don't answer the stupid little texts on the iPhone, they just keep popping back up and irritating you. Okay. So what's the symbols in the chat room here? Okay. This is like, it's like Christmas in February, right? Because, all right, so just the new announcements that were happening on your show last night, Mark, and some of the ones. Okay, so Wheeler is going to Jackson Kayak. Hammerhead's yep. going to Jackson Kayak. Chuck has gone over to Jackson Kayak. Stan got him a Jackson. He got him a CUDA. Holy cow. We're going to have all these CUDA heads down there.
Shallow Pockets is a... Jackson Pro Staff guy now, too.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
You know, you know what it is? It attests to the company. You know, how they, you know, I can't say enough about how awesome it is. I mean, you know, I send an email to the company. I've dealt with Wildy and Malibu and other companies where it takes 3 or 4 days. And it's literally, you know, 2 or 3 minutes later, boink. I look at my phone and, oh, I got another email. Look wow. at it, and it's, you know, Eric Jackson, the owner of the company, sending me an email like, hey, you know, congratulations on joining the team, and, you know, here's your profile already put up and on the website, and we'll have your kayaks to see you before the boondoggle, we promise. It's like,
cool.
Oh, my God. You know, to have the owner, you know, step up like that,
yeah.
it's just too cool, you know what I mean?
It has been seconded from the chat room, Salt Warrior, has laughed at it, so CUDA head is now an official term. It's an official kind of Christian radio term for you guys, CUDA head. So, let's see. Kills me. Oh, we're all finally got the chat room to load. I know. One of these days we'll get a big giant sponsor, or we'll get our own spot on XM Radio or Sirius or something like that. But so all these guys are thinking about the colors of their CUDAs and all that stuff. However, comma, the big-headed me pulled the trigger and worked a deal on a Ultimate – Ultimate 14.5. So I'm very happy with that. They're real easy to stand in. I haven't fallen out of it, but I've only had it in the driveway so far. So when I get it in the water, it might be a little different story. So, but the seat is very comfortable. And I know Stan was, he said he was watching TV last night in his little CUDA seat. So that's pretty interesting. Oh, welcome aboard, Scott Mitchell Dorsey there, the pirate from the Jacksonville crew. Glad to have you on. Hopefully, let's see. Jim is an ultimate guy. I know Jim is an ultimate guy. I want to try the ProPel thing, the little pedal system that they've got for ultimates. I think that's
the
kind
Mariner.
Of interesting. Yeah, the Mariner. Well, they actually have it for the 14.5 and the 12 also. So I think that'd be kind of interesting. Yeah, and you can get a little. You can, if you take the ProPel unit out, then there's a little cover that goes over the hole and stuff to keep it from splashing around and stuff. So you can still use it. It's just a paddle boat, whatever. So interesting. Cool. And interesting discussions now, because as everybody races to get their kayaks rigged prior to the boondoggle, and as we look forward to trucking them all down to the south end of Florida. As I posted in yakangler.com, because I think this may be some of the longest traveling that anyone's done with their kayaks. I tallied up my mileage last year for 2011 with my trailer, the Tree Hugger assault vehicle, and kayak launching device. We put over 8,000 miles on that trailer last year, going around to many boondoggles and stuff. Yeah, exactly. And driving down to Florida and stuff to go fishing. But I've played around with it, but I wanted to be able to carry a couple extra kayaks with me. So I got a hold of Colin Malone at Malone Auto Racks, and they're a friend of the Yak Angler crew and Kayak Fishing Radio, and I got me some longer crossbars for my trailer, so I can put a third kayak on the trailer bar.
Cool.
Yeah, and he actually, because my trailer is a 2009, they've gone to a different system now with the way the crossbars are rigged, but he went out into the warehouse and dug around and said he found a couple of sets of the aluminum crossbars, which is what I have, and hooked me up with them. So, and Colin was so kind and interesting to talk to that I invited him to join us here next week on Kayak Fishing Radio for the Thursday night club. And he's going to come on and talk about the different options for transporting your kayak, trailering and that kind of thing. It's a family owned business. They're out of, up in New England and Maine there, up in Hammerhead's part of the country. And he's going to join us next week and talk about kayak trailers and crossbars and rooftop mounting solutions and stuff like that they offer, and maybe give us some tips and stuff for how to safely transport our kayaks, because I have seen some ugly pictures of kayaks coming off of crossbars and things like that. So... so that should be interesting next week. Hopefully everybody will join in on that. And they are. They do. They answer. Russ was saying he got a new set of crossbars for his trailer also. I've modified my trailer just a bit because I didn't like having to make sure I had everything loaded in that box. I forget things. As we were passing around in the chat room last night, the dates at which all of the jarheads here had gone to boot camp. These guys are all saying they were in boot camp in like 90 and stuff like that. And it's like, I went to boot camp in 1978. So, which was little Scuba Stan there was just little Scuba Toddler. He was born in 76. So if I forget,
wasn't even a twinkle in my daddy's eye yet.
Yeah, I'm a little bit old around the edges, so if I forget something, just, you know, point me in the right direction. So So, anyways, so that'll be cool. And like I said, I think it's important that everybody kind of discusses the options and make a plan and stick to it. Greg, you almost had a disaster on your hand the last time we met at Cedar Key there, didn't you? You had a kind of a failure of one of your crossbars.
Yeah, completely unexpected, and it was the boat actually rocked back, apparently, and the two pieces of foam that support the Sherpa bars on the roof of the car actually disappeared onto the highway. Fortunately, I had done the extra safety strap, you know, belt and suspenders kind of thing, and never even noticed it, never heard the sound. But it kind of gave me the jeebies, and I wasn't comfortable enough driving it back that way. I threw it on Haywood's boat and or Haywood's racks and asked him to take it back. But it just goes to show you that you can't do it the right way enough. You know, my big concern, sure, I don't want to lose my boat. But in my years on the road, I've seen too many things through people's windshield because the dope in front of them didn't put it on right. And I always have a lock or something. If I'm going far at all, I always have a lock or something else that if everything else fails catastrophically, there's a piece of steel that will keep the kayak attached to my car, beating the crap out of the side of my car as it bounces down the highway. But it's not going through the windshield of the car or truck behind me, so...
Yep, absolutely. The asphalt doesn't do good with plastic either. So, like you say, though, the important thing is, you know, that you don't want that thing to go flying off this giant missile. I actually had a situation one time where we were transporting something in the back of my pickup truck. It was a large shower enclosure as we finished the basement in our house, and we got it from the Lowe's down the road, big blue box store. And driving down the highway, the strap broke on this big giant thing, and the aerodynamic coefficient of a shower enclosure, it will reach L over D max at 68 miles an hour. And this baby took off, man. And the only thing I could recall was looking in the rearview mirror and seeing the driver of the car behind me as it went over the top of his car. He was so close behind me. I don't think that person ever tailgated anyone ever again. But it was a good thing because he was close enough to me that the shower enclosure went completely over the top of his car and then shattered into a million fiberglass pieces when it hit the asphalt. Yeah. So, and your boat too, Becker. I mean, yours is a composite boat, so it would have a little more force there. It's got a little more, not quite as much mass, but the rigidity of, and coefficient of that rascal going through somebody's windshield, man, that would just ruin their day.
Yeah,
so,
it really would.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll talk about that next week and talk about the options that we've got, but. So now joining us from a long tour and a day on the water is that always excellent Mr. Redfish Chuck.
Yo.
Yo.
I did not get to go on the water today, unfortunately, sir.
Bummer, dude.
No, my day was spent at doctor's offices with my little one.
Oh, how's he doing, man? Better?
Yeah, we've pretty much ruled out a whole bunch of stuff, and now they're just digging for more answers and more tests and more stuff, so yay for us.
Yeah, I know.
We got some good news today, though. I mean, there was... They did a lot of blood tests on him the last couple of weeks, and everything came back normal. His eyes appear to be very healthy, and that's good, and so on and so forth. So, but now they're just looking for more answers, so they have to do more tests.
Right. Well, you know, unfortunately, that's the way they practice medicine. But we keep him in our thoughts, man.
Appreciate it, bro.
All good karma to you. So, anyways. So you didn't get on the water. you started some freaking crazy movement with all the CUDA heads now, and you're a CUDA head. You're the CUDA head leader. So,
I am the CUDA commander.
You're the CUDA commander. Okay. The CUDA commander. Good grief. All right. I've been measuring the aft thwart on my new Ultimate 14.5. I want to put a couple of Scotty mounts, you know, the recessed mounts in there. And I've been measuring this hole now for 2 days. I just can't bring myself to put the hole saw to the plastic and drill a hole in the brand new boat yet.
I don't think you need to.
Why?
You're going to do flush mounts?
Yeah. Well, the Scotty mounts, the little flush mount things, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, even for the big triangle things, you'd still have to drill holes to put the bolts or whatever through rivets or something. It's just getting that first hole in a fresh piece of plastic. And then I am the guy who, when he walks into the doctor's office and looks around at my surroundings, I go straighten up all of the pictures on the walls, because any imbalance or nonconformity just drives me up the wall. So I'm trying
and
to
I'm
put...
The guy who, I'm the guy who, when I leave, goes around and puts
it. Yeah. Becker was here. But it's like, if I put those two mounts on that boat and one of them is a little further out than the other, if they're not symmetrical, I'll be... It'll just irritate the crap out of me.
I understand, sir.
It will. I mean, Wheeler, I was going to ask Wheeler, do you still lace your boots left over right?
It's almost like a sickness. I do it to my kids, to my wife's boots.
I know.
I do that. And my wife was trying to figure out, she couldn't find her dog tag because she always carried the two dog tags on her neck. She said, where's my other dog tag? And I'm like, it's in your boot. She's like, why did you put it in my boot? I was like, because that's what belongs. On the left side, a third lace up, tucked in underneath the bridge. She's like, you're such a retard.
I know. I mean.
It's habit.
It is. It's a terrible habit. I get a brand new pair of shoes from the store, and I'll bring them home and rip the shoelaces out so I can relace them so that the bridge is over the top and then the laces are left over right.
Yep.
And, so I just got to make everything, it's got to be uniform, man. It would just drive me nuts. So let's see. Jim Van Pelt, he says, a little piece of me dies every time I drill a new boat. But you got to do something to it, you know? I mean, Scuba Stan, he's got his Stan is going to need a new truck, man. Because he sent me a picture of, he always puts his left shoe on first. That's right.
Yeah.
Put your sock on, then you put your boot on. Then you put your other sock on, and you put your boot on. His CUDA is like two-thirds of the way sticking out of the back of his truck. It's like the little extender thing is like just in the midpoint of the CUDA sticking out of there. So he's going to need a bigger truck, man. Right.
That's why I'm putting my CUDA on my roof.
Putting it on the roof, right?
Yeah. It's like this. Because it's a 14-foot boat. It's a long boat, you know. And
yeah, it is.
You know,
going to need a bigger boat.
To have that. Yeah.
Need a bigger truck. So.
I keep trying to persuade the wife that, but she just keeps laughing at me and.
Yeah.
Telling me to go back inside.
Right. So.
I'll have both of my CUDAs and a Native Ultimate 14.5 in the back of my truck.
So, that's so nice, man. Well, I'll be bringing...
I got to bring down an extra CUDA for Adam, because apparently Yak-Sushi doesn't have enough room on his Yakima or whatever trailer, so...
His rock and roll trailer?
Kayak. Yeah, so no big deal, man. Trust me, I like to get people in these Jacksons, so...
Converting the CUDA head, man.
We will convert the masses.
Convert the masses to CUDA heads.
Handshake that you can't know about.
I bet Drew Gregory was a Saturn designer, wasn't he? And Eric Jackson. But they had Saturns.
It's just funny. Guys are geniuses.
No, you know the deal behind Saturn, right?
Dude, I don't know nothing right now. I know the back of my eyelids. And
Chuck is just Mr. Curmudgeon. I don't know anything, man.
Well, Haywood's not here. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Chuck, I'm just going to change your name to Haywood here.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. Those are awfully large shoes to fill, sir.
I know. But, so you're converting the masses to CUDA heads. But there's a lot of room in a 14.5-foot ultimate. I sat in it and just enjoyed all of the room. And it's nice having the gunnels up there for an old guy like me. It's kind of like my walker. You know, I can just put my hands on it and just kind of shove myself around and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, my wife won't let me sell hers.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, that seat, man, is like awesome. Of course, the seat on the CUDA is nice too. But it's just when you got a big giant gourd like mine, man. I think you pushed me over.
I did.
You were just trying to mess with me. So, anyways, so I'm rigging up. I found a source for really sturdy crates. If anybody needs a crate, we still have time. Duluth Trading Company has red, green, and black colored crates, and they're the ones with the metal banding around the top of it and stuff. I went down into my basement and dug around because I was quite sure that I had one, but I have a milk crate that it's orange and it's like a crate and a half. It's this on two of the sides, it's the same size, you know, like one direction, but it's a rectangle, man. And it's like a crate and a half and it fits perfect right there behind the seat in the ultimate. So that's going to be awesome. Yeah.
I've got a ton of those longer crates.
Do you?
Yeah, because my plan was to put them in my old ride because they would fit just right inside the tank well.
Right.
You know, when I'm bass fishing, when I need about everything underneath the moon, but they don't fit in the new ride. So.
Yeah, so I'm going around all the little shops now because I want to put the rod holders, you know, on the back. And
All right,
Simper Yak is taking off, so. Have a good one, man. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Keep up the faith, man. You'll come home someday. I want to put some rod holders on it, right? And I think that if I could find one that was four rod holders, that it would fit across that long length perfect. And I'd have one with four, you know, and I could put my rods in there, my three rods, along with my yak. Or Yak Attack Visipole for quick deployment.
Just use a, I think it's a inch and a half or 2-inch inside diameter piece of PVC.
Yeah.
And zip tie it to the back, to the farthest point back.
Right.
So this way you're not getting caught and, you know, get it wrapped up in the rods or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what I do with mine, so.
Yeah,
it works.
But I still want to put my Scotty mounts on, though, because when some of the places we're traveling around and everything, you don't want your rod sticking straight up in the air all the time because trees have a bad habit of stealing your fishing rods if they're sticking straight up and down. Did you not know that?
Trust me. I know that very well.
Yeah.
The bending point of a G. Loomis cranking stick, 6.5-footer, when put underneath a hemlock tree, only goes back so far before it shatters into a million pieces. Trust me, I know.
Yeah.
2 days after you bought it.
Right. Or when the the Dagnabbit Tree. What is it? What's that guy? They were saying it. I was listening to the Double L's show today on the podcast. The guy who says Chewed 'em Elizabeth, says something else. But yeah, when that stinking tree grabs a hold of the rod that has, they know which ones have the big spook on them. And they grab it and then let go so that that spook comes up and hits you in the back of the head. So, and a big gourd like mine, even if the spook was going past me, the gravitational pull sucks that spook right up into the side of my head, man. I'll prove it to you that I have gravity of my gourd, because whenever the clone gets close to me in his kayak, it comes right up and bumps into me because the gravity from my big head just pulls him right up next to me.
Nice.
It's not his fault. It's a physics. It's a study in physics. So, let's see. I always put the left shoe on first, Stan. Do I need to? I haven't fished out of the boat enough. Russ is asking me where I ought to put the rod holders. But I use the Scotty mounts with the adjustable extensions on it, so you can kind of move them around enough to where, you know, you can reach them and stuff. And I use the ones, the heavy-duty ones with the locks on them, so that once I put my rod in there, I got them horizontal in those rod holders, and I can lock them. So you can pull on it and stuff. It'd probably rip the guides off or whatever, hook a spook and, you know, drag out 300 yards of braid before it snaps me back down the tributary that I've just paddled up. So, but that's what I'm looking at.
I think that's the one thing. Yeah, I'm the same way. Pictures have to be neat. Books on a bookshelf have to be, you know, covered in the line just right.
Uh-huh.
But when I put my flush mounts on, I'll actually go out and fish for a little bit without, you know, making any holes or anything. And then I take eye black, you know, that cheap stuff you can buy at, you know, Played Again Sports for like 99 cents. And I'll coat the back end of my rod butt, and I'll, you know, throughout the day, you know, act like I'm putting the rod back in there, back in, into where the flush mount would be. And then when I get back in, I've got a bunch of little black dots. And I kind of take, you know, triangulate where, you know, if I've got a bunch in a different little area, I'll triangulate where they're at, and that's where I'm going to drill my hole to mount the flush mounts if I was going to do it. And it comes out kind of weird because my left arm doesn't reach back as far as my right will, and that's the only time that I'm not, you know, symmetrical.
Right.
But
yeah.
And you're using those Scotty flush mounts where you can add those extenders and rotate and move them around, and you won't have a situation like that.
Right. I did, I got a, one of those new, it's called the Screwball from Luther at Yak Attack.
I think it's great.
It's got the little, slide track mount, half inch for ultimates, 5/8 for wilderness products. But I got the half inch ones with the little, 1-inch ram ball on it. So
right
now my little Garmin GPS map 60 CSX right on there, and I've already preloaded in the corresponding topographic maps and marine topography. So I will kind of know where I'm at down there as long as the batteries don't run out.
Yeah,
so,
I already printed out my map for Chokoloski.
Yeah.
So
did you take a look at that mytopo.com stuff that I put out? Did you see that?
I did, and I, instead of going to the 1 in 24,
yeah,
I went for a 1 in 50.
Uh huh.
And actually did it through Google.
Cool.
Bing Maps will actually put the hatches and the long, that long. So I've got a nice, you know, 11x9. Printout of the area, you know, far enough, about as far enough east as I could paddle, far as north and south and east. So this way, no matter where I would go, I kind of would figure out everywhere I'm going. Plus, I bought a bunch of ties, the marker ties, just that little ribbon strip. This way, if we're in the middle of nowhere, I can just find a mangrove, tie that off there. So this way, no matter where I'm going, I can see, ooh, there's a pretty pink little thing hanging off that tree. I got to go that way so I can find my way back if I start getting lost.
You should get some cat eyes, too, man, just in case it gets dark.
Oh, these are reflective. They got a little reflective strip inside there. They cost me $25. They're going to work, damn it.
Ooh. It's going to be interesting. This will be a boondoggle where it should expand some of the skill sets of some of the folks joining us, you know, because you have to Wheeler just got dropped off, but it should expand the skill set a little bit. Nothing too difficult, but certainly things that you're going to want to pay attention to the locals, and I would take a look at the charts and make a map. And if you've got a GPS, I would certainly bring one. Let's say hi to our man with the plan from the West Coast.
Wishing I was fishing, I tell you.
Wishing I was fishing. I know I wish I was fishing, but it's storming again outside.
How are you boys doing tonight?
We're doing good, Spiker. What you up to, man?
Getting ready for Crab Fest on Sunday. It's funny how this community comes out of the woodwork. You get one day of crab and a five-hour event. You got people camping two or three nights, bringing out the families. It's going to be a big fiesta. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
Crab Fest, Bodega Bay, California.
That's a cool place, man.
Dude, I got off there.
Wheeler made it back. Put a new battery in it, Wheeler.
Fat fingers.
Yeah.
Hey, I have to apologize, Spiker. I was supposed to get a hold of him after my show on Monday, and I found out that I don't have his phone number in my new phone.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Always just go to kayakfishing.com to find me.
Oh. Well, now I feel like even more of an idiot. Thank you.
Or email me after this show, and I'll send you the direct line.
I will do that, sir.
All right. So what's going on there? I'm sorry I tuned in so late. I'm trying to beat the sun to get on the radio show, and I just couldn't make it happen.
Yeah. Well, we're just talking about the weather and talking about things that we're thinking about. We're 3 weeks out from our trip now.
Boondoggle.
To Boondoggle, that's right. We were just discussing that we're going to be down in the 10,000 islands, and they don't call it that for nothing. There's all these little mangrove islands down there. And if you've never gone, and Wheeler just dropped out again, so when he comes back, we'll hook him back up. But if you've not done any serious navigation in places that you can really get lost. I mean, just like I kind of thought it was silly when you would hear that people would get lost in a cornfield out in the Midwest until you go out and you see these cornfields and that you get out in the middle of one of them and it's just a bunch of corn around you. You have really no clue. So if you don't have a compass, if you don't have a GPS, if you don't have some way to find your way back, you're going to get lost out there. I know from hunting in the state of Colorado, part of your permit to hunt out there is you're paying for the emergency services that about 90% of the self-hunters get themselves into needing when they get lost out there in the mountains. So we've got a couple of resources that we can use to create some charts. You can use Bing Maps or Google Maps and overlay the terrain on there and print it off. There's also some commercial resources. I use mytopo.com, mytopo.com, and they have a service where you can create maps and print them off as PDFs and stuff like that.
I just found mytopomap.com last week, and it is unbelievable.
It's kind of cool, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
very nice site.
And they'll custom build maps for you. They're a little pricey, but it's, I don't know. Greg, do you do any navigation where you need to go get charts and USGS quads and things like that? I mean, you do emergency stuff, so you're probably familiar with it.
Yeah, all my stuff used to be in a big map case.
Right.
In the back of the cheese car that had topos that covered the entire district. And then had the backups for that were actually on the laptop.
Yeah.
But for the kind of stuff we did, it was easier to use. It was easier to use the actual maps themselves. But big GPS fan. Even if you don't do anything else, when you put in the water, mark the ramp.
Yes.
And turn it off. And if you get lost, you have it. But it's worth having. You know, it's like toilet paper. You never realize how much you miss it until you don't have any.
Yeah. Because, I mean, well, you know, it was, I forget who it was. It was Trimble or somebody recently. They created a GPS device. And I got one from my dad. Because all it was there was a button on it that had like an icon of a car. So, and it fits on your keychain. So when you get out of the car, you turn the thing on and you push the button. And then when you come out of Walmart, the arrow points to where your car is. So no more that I have to worry about my dad getting lost in a car. I know he's listening in somewhere. So, no, that's a joke. But yeah, I always say if you know where you're at, if you've got a mark to go back to, just like with Wheeler and his high visibility markers there that you can tie on to the overhanging mangroves. And now that I know he'll do that, I'll have to pull him down and tie him onto other mangroves. So,
hey, I have to interrupt for a second. This
you going to interrupt?
This just in, the Turtle Man is live on TV, live action. Come on.
It's either that or the Republican debates. Or kayak fishing radio, right?
1259.
Yeah. Yakshushi says Sam, his better half, says she can still do her nav that they taught her in the Army. She does Army nav. That's cool. We a little navigation on the water is pretty good. Spiker, you get into a situation where you need to do a little nav out there on the water?
Yeah, we got a lot of fog here on the Eastern Pacific, and you definitely have to cut through that stuff to get back to where you're going. That 10,000 islands, that's Everglades, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep, south of the Everglades, yeah.
When I first started the kayakfishing.com forums, I think this is like 1997 or 98, I met a woman from Miami, a kayak angler named Vivian, and she caught some of the first big Florida fish I ever saw on a kayak, and she was way into the snook, but that was her spot. And she used to talk a lot about how easy it is to get lost in there. It's like walking into a whole new world.
Yeah. Well, I know that for the longest time, I was an Atlantic coast or a Pacific coast person, and when I went, you know, so when we would fly someplace, you would be out over the water, you would either go west or go east to go back to the big land. And then when I showed up in Pensacola, it was the wrong direction. You could go out over the water, and if you went east or west, you'd wind up either in Texas or in the, you know, in the southern part of Florida. You wouldn't get back to the panhandle. So,
no, Chip, it's a good point to be talking about that big water. And I'm guilty of it, too, but I think that the number of kayak anglers out there who actually have a compass on their boat are probably in the minority. And when you're fishing coastal, you don't need to get that far offshore with the drift and the wind and your own paddling to get way off course. And you get a little bit off the beach, all of a sudden those landmarks aren't so familiar anymore.
That's right. I mean, I know one of the trips we took down to the Tampa area, we went down to Clearwater and we were out off the beach there. And the current was taking us away from the beach. And you get a little far out there. You know, when you're on the deck of an aircraft carrier, you're 100 feet in the air and you can see about 5 miles to the horizon. But when you're sitting down just 3 feet off of the water, you probably don't see but about, you know, a mile and a half or so would probably be your horizon. I don't know. Anybody else got a guess on that?
A few hundred yards some days.
Yeah. So let's see. Charlie from Jacksonville there, he says, yeah, they got lost out in the lagoon. 3 hours later, they found their way out. I know. You just paddle around. So Yeah, I almost left the clone. Yeah, we went like. He was still a youngster, man, and we were paddling back into the wind. And I'm like, okay, I'll send the Navy guys for you. Keep your orange hat on. They'll come and get you. Don't give up on me.
You know, but, we take it for granted. I don't know about your position there, but anywhere here on the Pacific, even with a low wattage handheld radio, chances are the U.S. Coast Guard's got some pretty big ears, and they're going to hear you calling for help. But once you leave the United States and you get into these waters, and it was a real awakening for me in Mexico, that there is nobody there for you, and we're lucky in the States to have the support that we have. But it puts a big emphasis on the importance of all of that emergency equipment, from your phone to your radio to all the different gadgets they've got going now.
Yeah, and I know Mr. Becker showed up with you're an amateur radio operator, right, Greg?
That is correct.
So, I mean, your radio worked out real well. VHF is line of sight, which means if you're on the other side of the mangrove island, more than likely it might be difficult for us to talk to each other.
Well, I'm a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where a little extra power comes into play. If you buy a radio that's a little bit higher power, when you can see the other guy's hat, you can always throw the stuff down on the 1 watt setting. But it's when you get back in the weeds somewhere and you're really looking for somebody to come give you a hand, fire it up, don't worry about your battery life, and say, yo. And,
yeah.
Of course, for anybody listening, the amateur radio I was using is also type accepted by the FCC for use on non-amateur frequencies. Disclaimer ends.
Yep, mileage may vary. I've got the Uniden MHS 75s, and there you can set the power at 1 watt, 2 watts, or 5 watts, and for battery life. But when I first took the clone out, it was like I had to have something on him so at least he gets so far away, and I can yell pretty loud. I haven't been an old Marine, but when the current grabs you, and it's real easy to see somebody disappear. I mean, well, at Chucktown, my wife, she gets in the boat, paddles out. I'm still working on, I've launched her and the clone. The clone's following Hammerhead and them around into a little cove to fish. And my wife just takes off paddling. Well, she gets out into the stream, and it swoops her on down. And I only had two radios, and I didn't put one on her. And, it's like all of a sudden she's out of sight. And, we're sitting down in those kayaks. So, I don't know if anybody saw the article on yakangler.com for the mini boondoggle that we just did down in Titusville. But the waves didn't seem that big to us. I mean, they're slapping us around out there. But a picture that Bill took of me and the clone coming back from when we went out across the lagoon and coming back, there was enough swell there that my boat had disappeared. He caught it right at the bottom where I was down at the bottom of the swell. And, my boat's gone. So it's very difficult. You can easily lose someone. They can get 100 yards away from you, and you will not be able to see them. So it's important to think about those kind of things. If you don't have a plan before you get in the water, it's too late. I'm not a real – I like to have my shoelaces left over right, and I like to have an emergency plan before I get out there. I like to know before I go. Does that match up with some of your training, Mr. Becker?
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Like I said, belt and suspenders.
Belt and suspenders, that's right. So Charlie's got the walkie-talkie. Safety flags are good. What do we got here? Okay. Yeah, so no problem about GPS signal. Yeah, GPS is pretty – it's pretty good now. I mean, they've got a bunch of satellites up, and, it comes from above you. So line of sight is not really an issue anymore. I still think it's pretty easy to get. It's very rare that you wouldn't have a 3D signal from GPS nowadays.
Yeah, but. if you're spending some time under a canopy,
yeah.
If you're back in the trees, or if you're in a really thick mangroves, you might lose it for a couple seconds, but
just paddle out in the open.
Yeah, seeing three birds well and four birds total is not all that difficult anymore. The constellation's really, really robust, so.
Yeah, so I'm pretty good. But still, I would not just totally set my faith completely in that GPS signal. I would also have a backup plan, just like, we goof around with Wheeler. But if you want to put markers out, I'd put markers out, and be able to find your way back. So there should be enough of us out there. The other thing, too, is something that I don't think about too often. And I don't know how many guys go out by themselves and fish by themselves, but it's probably a good idea to use the good old buddy system. Thoughts? Anyone? Bueller?
No, don't get me started.
You don't want to? You don't like fishing with other people, Spiker? You like being out there by yourself?
No, it's not that. It's just it is the absolute truth. The buddy system saves lives, and I just consider all those years that I fished by myself in Malibu, in seas where I couldn't even see the rescue boat. I'd hear them coming, and I'd once me and my kayak and the Baywatch boat would hit the top of the swell together, there'd just be some old lifeguard behind the wheel snarling at me, sneering at me. He never said a word. But as the years went on, I realized, how and people started getting plucked off the beach and out of the water, I realized how genuinely stupid it is. And the truth is, finding somebody to fish with, 9 out of 10 times, it's totally doable.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that a real experienced rider, like Charlie just said, he fishes by himself most of the time. I'm not saying that it's undoable. People
I do it a lot.
And a 14-year-old girl that just circumnavigated the world, in a sailboat by herself.
My little hero.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's certainly there, but that's someone who's got a lot of experience and got a lot of training and has a backup plan also, So whether it's you've got a cell phone in a dry box, you've got a radio or a walkie-talkie, a VHF there where you've got a backup system.
Chip, and that's where most of my advocacy lies is assuming that people are not going to have any communications, they're not going to have a float plan, and they're going to go out by themselves not telling anyone not only where they went or that they were even going. And, but the truth is, if we're kayak fishermen, of course we fish alone.
Right. And that's okay, but like you said, always have a plan and let somebody know where you're going to go, how long you plan on being out, so that, 3 or 4 days later, oh, man, I wonder where Spiker went, man.
I think in our section we're always going to find the arguments. And I remember early on in my career, the biggest group of hate mail that I got was for publishing photos without people wearing life jackets. And I think that a lot of that came from traditional kayakers because kayak fishing was getting a lot of press at the time for the first time. And I'm telling you, very serious hate mail too, to the publishers for magazines I was writing for, to me directly. And I understand all of that, but the reality is that we're not all going to wear our life jackets all the time. And back then, the reality was that if I only published pictures of anglers wearing life jackets, I wouldn't have had but 3 or 4 pictures to publish.
Yeah. But, in the chat room there. Mitchell Dorsey, Scott, saying that he fishes alone sometimes, but he has at least 2 check-in friends that I know him out that knows he's out and where he's at.
Right. That's just a responsible part of getting on the water and a part of your fishing trip.
You ever get to a point where you get hurt and then you're like, dang, I can't get out of here by myself. I wonder how long it's going to be before somebody misses me.
Figures out that I'm gone, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's another thing about that, too. You talk to, and I'm always out there doing my own little private surveys. It's amazing how many kayak anglers don't know what a float plan is.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys on kayak fishing radio, I know, have the benefit of the military and got schooled up in a lot of things like navigation and basic responsibility. You know, a lot of people get into new sports, you know, with the love and drive and absolutely no knowledge whatsoever.
Yep.
So, and I think that's what we're doing here on Kayak Fishing Radio, is just filling in some of the blanks.
Yep. Just saying, hey, think about it. So, and thinking about it, I just looked up at the clock, and we've just been going on and going on and going on. There's just so much. So I'll leave a little bit for you guys for tomorrow night there, Spike.
Thanks for having me on board there, Chipster. Wheeler, nice hearing you.
He's already fallen out, so.
He's done.
He's toast.
All right.
All right, guys. That's about it. So next week, keep in mind that we will have Colin Malone from Malone Auto Racks joining us here. Well, he's going to be on the phone. But we're going to be talking about transportation of your kayaks and how best to do it. Talk about some of the products that they've got available at Malone and what your options are. I know I have a Malone trailer. I know that Russ has one. Yak Sushi has got one of the Brand X versions, the Yakima Rack and Roll. So you'll see those if you meet us down at the Boondoggle, and you'll see the options available. And Colin will be with us next week to talk about that. So 21 and a wake up, and we're off to the Boondoggle. Chuck's going to be there. Greg's going to be there. Right, guys?
Absolutely.
All right. So keep working at it. Reorganize your gear. Keep setting it up. I know Scuba Stan, he's probably gone through his checklist 40, 50, 60 times. He's still got 21 days worth of it to do. And thanks for joining us. That was Captain Mike, Captain Mike Ortego from Florida Fishing Radio. Y'all join him. Check him out, him, Steve Chapman, and Boudreaux on Saturday mornings at FloridaFishingRadio.com. They have an app. You can listen to it on your smartphone while you're fishing. Put your headphones in, though, so you don't bother your buddies. And we'll check them out. YakAngler.com/Boondoggle, KayakFishingRadio.com/Boondoggle. And you can check it out, what we're talking about and where we're headed. Chuck Lusky, hang on there. So we'll be there and join us next time. Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock. Kayak Fishing Radio. Chuck's on Mondays, kicks it off. The Double L on Tuesdays. Wednesday's the Wheeler Day. Thursday's where I'm at. Friday, Spike and Ike from the West Coast, the Wild West Kayak Fishing. Join us again. We'll see you guys. Thanks for joining me, Mr. Becker, Redfish Chuck. And we'll see you guys next week. Always, man. Always. Chuck, we'll see you on Monday.
Sounds good.
All right, brother. Y'all have a good night. We'll see you next time.
Bye.